Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Put Me Here Podcast, episode 130. Jeez Louise, look where we're at, Mom. I'm your host, Andrew Gomez, a.k.a. The Mez, joined today by my lovely, wonderful, beautiful co-host to my left. He is the 10th wonder of the world, the puncher of walls, Dickalich himself, Richard Garcia.
He's not talking about me, by the way, as far as being beautiful. That's going to be to my colleague coming up.
The handsomest man alive, the Pinoy powerhouse, the COVID cutie, the WWE simp of the show, Byron Pagdalao.
Titty bounce. Oh.
Oh, look at they bouncing. They bouncing. A lot to get into this week in the world of professional wrestling. But you know, I got to talk about something. It's been weighing on me. And I'm just going to come out and say it. We have the best sponsors in the game. We got to give it up to our friends at Grudge Match Brand and Grudge Match Brand Apparel on Instagram. If you're in the market for some wrestling merchandise that have a little bit of rock and roll ting to them, make sure you go check out our friends at Grudge Match Brand. You might have seen Chris Bay's new entrance gear sponsored by Grudge Match Brand. So go check out Grudge Match Brand. They just dropped Chris Bay's new shirt. It's a Chris Bay mashup with Paramore. It looks fucking amazing. So go check out Grudge Match Brand. Use our promo code PUTMEOVER for 15% off your entire order. Also, if you want some merchandise from us, go to our website, PUTMEOVER.com, for all your Put Me Over podcast merchandise wants and needs. We got hats, stickers, shirts, sweatshirts, koozies, stickers. You name it, we got it. So go check out our website, not our friend's website, but our website, PUTMEOVERpodcast.com. Use our promo code KOFIFOREVER, and you'll get 20% off your entire order. Act fast because supplies are limited. And, you know, I'm really liking our move to Anchor. I don't know if you guys listen to the show, but we have an ad at the front of it. Well, obviously, you guys are listening to the show. You're listening to my voice right now. We have an ad at the front of the show. That's compliments of our friends at Anchor. So shouts out to our friends at Anchor.fm for hosting our show. They do a really good job over there. Whew. A lot to get into this week, guys. I'm pretty excited. We got some beef. There's some WrestleMania news, Royal Rumble news. We're going to review all the shows of the week. But before we do any of that, you know we got to give it up to our boy, Dickalicious, and this week's episode of Dick's Dirty News.
What? Dick's Dirty News.
Take it away, Dick.
Oh, looks like your palms are sweating right there, dude.
Mom spaghetti,
yeah. So this was just announced a couple days ago. Actually, this was probably announced yesterday, as a matter of fact. We're recording on a Sunday, so this was announced as of Saturday. WWE did a press release issuing what the next three WrestleManias are going to be. And it is confirmed that this year, Raymond James Stadium is once again hosting, and this time for sure, hosting WrestleMania back-to-back nights. It's going to be pushed back up to April, I believe. So I think, let me get the dates real quick.
I want to know who Raymond James is.
Yeah, who the fuck is this guy?
Who the fuck is Raymond James?
Watch, he's all like important. Like, we're just dumb.
That's probably the case. He better be a pirate. Pirate Long John Raymond James.
Long John James. I like that. No, Raymond James is just a financial company. So,
oh. Sponsor. Wait, so. Who is Raymond? Is Raymond James like the CEO? The founder?
The name of the company.
That's a terrible name.
Yeah.
It's American stadiums. They get, they're usually sponsored by corporate names. They have corporate sponsors now. So it's not just regular Raymond James. It's Raymond James, the corporation. And that's why it's called Raymond James Stadium in Tampa.
Dude. So
they're going to be hosting.
Oh, sorry. Go on.
Go for it.
This is just other side news that I wanted to talk about. We can talk about it later.
So back-to-back WrestleManias, April 10th and 11th.
Two
so
nights again.
Do the two nights again, which I'm fine. I'm fine with that. I think having one seven-hour show is just too much.
Here's my problem with two nights. Me watching from home, perfect. I can watch it on a weekend.
Yes.
I also like having it one day because let's say I want to go to a WrestleMania. I have to take my significant other. Last time we went to a wrestling show, she was done after the one time. She's like, all right, I've had enough. And it'd be hard to convince her to go to two nights of Markism and WWE propaganda. What do you guys think? Are you guys for two nights?
I am now.
Double the price to get in?
I'm fine with it. Yeah, go for it, Brian.
Wrestle Kingdom does a good job of it, too. So if those, I was going to say Japs, but that's racist.
You're Asian.
I think, yeah, so it's fine. I think it's definitely a good idea since there's so much talent, like how we always talk about everyone getting their shit in. So I think this allows more people to get that WrestleMania bonus, and everybody wins because the city wins, wrestlers win, I think. And I think, the crowd wins, obviously, because Marks love that shit. Their significant others, not so much, but Marks will love that shit.
It's kind of hard, especially for the indie guys, too, that you would usually run a show that weekend piggybacking off of WrestleMania. You're going to have to choose between WrestleMania or going to, you know, the bingo hall to watch ROH.
Right. Well, lucky for us, COVID destroyed all the indie.
Destroyed.
Yeah. I was going to mention, I don't think that's going to happen as far as independent shows or any of these small companies flocking to Florida. I mean, they still might.
Yeah.
But given we're still in the middle of a pandemic, it's not going to be how it normally is where everyone piggybacks off of WrestleMania. So
they have said fans will be in the show. We'll be in attendance.
And I think that's the goal is that they want to finally have fans at like paid fans at WrestleMania. It's not going to sell out. It's not going to be a full blown WrestleMania where there's like 70,000 people. They haven't mentioned as far as how they're going to do tickets, as far as what's the limit, any of those protocols. We still haven't heard anything yet. I'm sure it'll be released in the next couple of days.
Are we going?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. Maybe. Maybe in LA. Well, talk about what. So.
Yeah.
Oh, also another tidbit from the announcement from them going back to the Raymond James Stadium. Kevin Owens has already shared on Twitter a picture of the boat that's there. So he's jumping off that shit this year.
Yes.
1,000%. Bold prediction.
Because he did a lot. He did it for this past year, but it just wasn't the same.
Well, no, so, he wanted to jump off that boat, but then they had to move to the Performance Center, so he had to jump off the next biggest thing, which was the WrestleMania sign. But he was saying publicly, like, man, I really wanted to jump off that ship, and he's going to get his chance again. It's pretty tight.
I don't know who he's going to be against. We still don't know what's going to happen as far as WrestleMania. I mean, we've been hearing rumors as far as the rumored matches, and if that's where it's going to be for the rumored matches, I'm not really a big fan of the rumored matches. One of them being Goldberg versus Roman. I mean, they wanted to do that last year.
It's going to happen.
We'll see.
We'll see how that goes. So Raymond James Stadium, take two, WrestleMania both nights. So I think it's safe to say NXT they're not going to have a takeover that weekend.
Who knows?
Yeah.
They might.
Maybe on Friday.
Yeah,
they might. SmackDown's on Friday, but that's always possible. You never know. So that's going to be 2021. 2022, we're thinking, okay, great. Southern SoCal's going to get it. But right now with how Southern California is, we're in a shit show at the moment. And it looks like we may not get anything until maybe 2023, which is going to be where it's going to be WrestleMania. 2023 in L.A., 2022 is going to be in Dallas once again.
They were just there
5 WrestleManias within the span of what, 5-6 years?
WrestleMania 32.
That's right.
And we're at 37 or 36 this year. 35. They take the number out, and I don't know anymore. I don't know what WrestleMania we're on anymore.
No. It's this year would be 37.
Okay. So, yeah, 5 years.
So, 38.
6 years later.
38 is going to be Dallas. 39 is going to be Los Angeles. 40, we don't know what 40 could be. They haven't announced where 40's at. So
Tampa Bay.
Going back.
They might. You know what? They might go back to Tampa Bay. I mean, a lot could happen in the next couple years. I mean, hell, a lot could happen in the next week as well.
40, I think 40, they could probably go to Vegas in that new Raider stadium. That's a really nice stadium, too.
I'd be for it. I'd be all for it. They haven't been to Vegas since 1993. Brand new stadium. Maybe that was going to be the plan after LA.
I would think. But why does Dallas have to get it? That doesn't make sense, but I'm not going. So
Yeah, I think it has more to do with how Texas is a little more laissez-faire, I guess you could say, for lack of a better term, when it comes to their COVID policy.
A little laxed.
Yeah.
Lackadaisical.
So I think that may have something to do with it, but it'd be interesting to see what's going to happen in the next year. But yeah, so now we know where the next few WrestleManias are going to be. This will be really interesting. And going back to what Byron was saying about WrestleMania being two nights, he mentioned New Japan and how much of a success Wrestle Kingdom is for two nights, and they set the standard when it came to doing two nights. I'm all for it. It works for them. It makes the shows a lot easier to watch.
Yeah.
Now, given if we didn't have the pandemic, would a two-night WrestleMania be feasible? I don't know. I mean, it would be a lot easier on me to do two nights back-to-back as opposed to one long night, especially if they're both shorter shows. Maybe more money, but...
Right. And I think it leaves room for, like, clever booking, too. You know how New Japan this year had Ibushi wrestling twice. I think, like, in the future, if they keep it two nights, they can have cool little booking things like that to make it even bigger, you know?
Yeah, so, like... You win one match, but you have to defend again the next night. That way, you have two world title defenses, but they also have two world titles in WWE. So,
right. So who knows? It leaves a lot of options.
Yeah, I mean, I'm for it. I guess if I have to,
I'm for it too. I mean, I think this. I mean, especially with going to the Wrestle Kingdom shows, two nights is a way to go. It's proven to be a success. WrestleMania's gonna be a little different, but I think if it's a success as far as having the fans there, then we'll see how next year goes, if they're going to do two nights or if it's just going to be, you know, given because it's COVID.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think they'll go back to one night once, you know, we can have a lot more people there? I think they're seeing double the gate at these shows now.
Yeah.
Do ticket prices go down? That's what I want to know. Like, instead of $100 for one night, is there $50 for two nights? WWE needs to set up like a finance system. I think that would help people get into these shows that are now two nights. Do like a, like they do for like season tickets for, you know, football games or whatever. I don't know. Like a season pass for Disneyland, you know, you can pay monthly leading up. What else we got, Dick?
Well, before we went on, I was mentioning that apparently there is beef between Mark Henry and Ryback. And with Ryback, that dude's always getting into something with whatever he says online. It always comes back and bites him in the ass. And he apparently said something on Twitter in which Mark Henry did issue, or he did acknowledge on his podcast.
Ooh.
And I'll play a sample of the clip. Let me know if you guys can hear it.
Looked at him as difficult. A lot of his peers looked at him as dangerous. Yeah. And yes, we talk about it on this show all the time, that it's a show. It's sports entertainment. It is a reflection of sports. We don't use the term fake. The championship is the championship. It's not a prop. And he's wrong. I've been a world champion in three sports, and I consider pro wrestling one of those. But it was the politics that got me to the top. It was the fact that I'm damn good entertainer, because entertainment is in the name, the job description. Ryback can't take away what I achieved. There's no way that your bitter ass, and I'm talking to you, Ryback.
Oh, damn.
Your name is not Ryback, but whatever your name is. I don't even know your real name. Skip. Whatever it is. You are wrong. Every wrestler that sees your face should walk up to you and say, hey, you're an asshole. And I hope you know how to fight for real. Because you know, and I know, there's a lot of people that will whoop your ass. If I saw you, I would tell you, hey, man, you're an asshole. And if you want it with me, you could get the first one. Go ahead. Your punches taste like candy. And there's a bunch of guys out there that feel the same way that I do, the way you talk shit on our business. I feed my family with this business. This show, hey, it's a show about wrestling. I'm not an active talent. I'm not an employee. But I love the business enough to not let you sit here and talk shit on it and trivialize it because you failed, because you didn't achieve, that you didn't become a champion. So you feel like It's something that's given. It's a prop. You're wrong. What if you ever been a champion in outside of wrestling? Are you a champion in your own home? Do your dogs like you? Do people around you respect you for being more than a wrestler or a musclehead? I've been a musclehead my whole life, and people respect me for it. You owe the wrestling industry an apology. If you don't, I think that pro wrestlers all over the world should never give you respect.
So that was the gist of the rebuttal that he issued to Ryback.
Damn!
Yeah, that's a...
Holy shit. Pipe bomb.
I'll say this about... Yeah, I'll say this about Mark Henry. That guy doesn't pull punches at all. He'll tell you straight to your face if he doesn't like you. He doesn't give a fuck. And
what course was that, Dick? You know, so we can give them credit for it. What show was that on?
That was on Mark Henry's podcast. But the Busted Open segment, Busted Open Radio. That's on Sirius. So that's where he addressed the rebuttal in response to what Ryback said. But yeah, going back to him, that dude. He said a lot of things, and he really is his own worst enemy. When it comes to saying he wishes death on Dave Meltzer, and just pretty much bagging on modern wrestling in general. What do you guys think of it? You guys have anything you want to add to?
I mean, that's beef. I don't know what. Do you know what Ryback said that set Mark Henry off?
That's what I'm trying to figure. That's what I'm trying to find.
Was he bitter that Mark Henry beat him at WrestleMania?
I don't know. Ryback
is just that guy who like worked at a place and, you know, blames everything on the company versus like his own shortcomings. Sure, WWE isn't the most ideal place, as we know from Lita, which we may discuss later, I guess. But yeah, like he wasn't that good of a wrestler. I don't know what his, he just seems like a bitter ex-lover of some sort. And it's kind of sad. I hope he may be going through some shit, but he's been bitter since the day he left. So I'm hoping Skip, as Mark refers to him as, finds his peace, man. He just seems bitter. Or like, I hope he gets work somewhere else so he can get off this thing.
Let me see where...
But
where this all happened,
right? Ryback's a sad guy, poor guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's bitter. I follow him on Instagram, and he loves talking shit, whether it be WWE, whether it be his peers. He loves talking shit. Mark Henry wants to beat him up for real. It sounds like that's a straight shoot, brother.
Okay, so I think this is where it all began. So this was a tweet he sent out on January 17th. Oh, claiming wrestlers who don't win a heavyweight champion are failures is beyond insulting to talent. I believe Mark will issue an apology for his multiple lies, and it's beyond disappointing to see him shapeshift like this. Very not religious of you. So I think that was
a response to what Mark Henry said.
I think this might have started from This probably was the catalyst behind it. I mean, I'm trying to go back and find out like what caused all that to happen. But basically, it's something that's like two sides to everything. So I think there's elements from Ryback where, okay, if what Mark Henry said is that if you don't win a championship, you are a failure. I don't buy that. I think that's not true because,
yeah,
I mean, a classic example of someone who didn't win a world champion and is not a failure and is one of the greatest of all time is Roddy Piper.
I was just going to say that.
Never held a major world title.
Jake the Snake's another one. There's so many guys that never won the title.
There's quite a bit. And so, then also on the other end of the spectrum, you have people who are world champions and have no right to be champions, and they're not automatically considered to be Hall of Famers or one of the greatest of all time.
Yes.
So I think with that statement, he Ryback is kind of in the right for that. Like, I mean, what Mark Henry said, I don't think it's 100% true. Maybe this is part of just like kind of like maybe Ryback getting flack because it's right. He's Ryback.
That could be a thing too. Because Mark Henry's not the first one to say that people didn't want to work with him because he wasn't safe. I mean, most famously, CM Punk has come out and said similar things. I don't know. Now he has like a stink on him that I don't think he's be able to get off anytime soon.
I don't think he has that stink. Yeah, he has that stink as well. And like I said, it just goes back to what, you know, Ryback's one of those guys that he'll say whatever is on his mind too. Like, just like Mark Henry, these guys, they don't have any filters, or they're unapologetic. They'll say whatever they want. And
has Ryback tried to get back into wrestling? Has he had a match since he left?
I don't know. It's been,
I haven't
so
heard
long.
Anything like, about the guy.
He's been gone for so long that I don't know. Maybe he's wrestled. He tried wrestling on the independent scene, but
he's such a WWE guy, though. I don't see him going and working the indies. Like, he's like an Enzo Amore to me. Like, he's good in WWE entertainment, but as far as like hitting the indie shows or maybe even going to Japan, I don't see. I could see him working in Japan because he's a big American. But you know, I don't know. I don't see him working any independent shows to try to stay relevant.
Poor guy, he just sounds miserable.
That could be a part of it too.
And to be fair too, like Mark Henry could be just like, he's an easy target, you know. He
Ryback,
just really, Ryback is.
Yeah.
Mark Henry could have just easily shook it off and not cared, but if he's just hated as much, you know, as it seems like he is, then fuck it, whatever.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. It's another Twitter beef, and you know the answer is probably somewhere in the middle as to why there's beef.
We got anything else to talk about, Dick? As far as news goes.
News-wise, I mean, not really. I mean, the WrestleMania news is big news, given considering that we're now in WrestleMania season, and now we know for sure where WrestleMania is going to be at this year.
Yeah.
Royal Rumble is going to be a couple weeks away. I believe it's going to be 2 weeks away, correct?
Correct.
Right.
Okay, so we're on the road to the Royal Rumble.
Did you catch Hard to Kill, the TNA show last night?
You know what? I was trying to watch the main event.
Which is
I did
why anyone bought the show, really.
Right. Yeah, and that's really the only buzz around Impact at the moment is the fact that Kenny Omega is in Impact and he's working with these guys. And for those that don't know, Impact did have a pay-per-view yesterday, Hard to Kill. The main event was Omega and the Good Brothers versus Rich Swann. Alex Shelley was originally supposed to be in the main event, but he got replaced by Moose. And who's the other guy from
Chris Sabin?
Chris Sabin, thank you.
Yeah,
man, I feel bad forgetting Chris Sabin's name. So they were in the matchup. From what people were saying, from the reports, that this was one of Moose's best performances ever. So
okay,
Moose is dope. I want to check the match out. Omega won with the One Wing Angel, and it looks like they're setting up Omega versus Swan, which is not surprising at all.
Also, came out in Bullet Club shirt.
That to me was shocking because I don't know if New Japan gave them the okay to do it. Apparently not.
Oh wow,
Tama Tonga was not very happy with it.
Really?
I think there's still some bad blood between Tonga and Kenny. Maybe it's not as bad as it once was, because I know they were not very happy when Kenny left.
Maybe it's a work, brother.
That could be the case. I mean, I'm thinking it's a
that
work.
Would be to have pissed off Bullet Club members, the original Bullet Club, pissed off at this new Bullet Club in the States. That has, you know, crossover promotion written all over it. That would be fucking dope.
I don't think Tama Tonga would be happy with you saying that, because Tonga was one of the OG Bullet Club members.
No, I'm saying the original OG Bullet Club in Japan beefing with this new Bullet Club that's starting to happen in AEW.
Oh, yeah. No, okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to take into. This is going to get really interesting as far as what's going to happen, because there's so many possibilities as far as where this goes.
The
Forbidden Door is open, but like, how open is it? And I guess we'll find out by the end of the year to see where this is going to go. This is getting really interesting.
That should be the name of the pay-per-view, The Forbidden Door.
The Forbidden
AEW's
Door.
Forbidden Door.
If they do work together to do a super show, that's what they should call
that
it.
That would be fucking dope.
That would be
It was pretty random too. Matt Cardona is in Impact now.
Oh, that's another thing. Yeah.
Yes.
What?
Him and what's his name? Kurt Hawkins are both in Impact now.
I know Kurt was in Impact for a while. So, hey, you know what? Cool. I mean, I didn't think Matt Cardona was going to last very long in AEW, but hey, he's finding work. Good for him.
I'm all for it. I like Zack Ryder. I've always liked Zack Ryder.
I don't think he ever got a fair push in WWE, to be honest with you.
Well, they tried, and then they realized, oh, shit, he's getting over on his own. Nope. Nah.
He's getting over on his own.
That's not happening.
And when they decided to do something with him, it was too little, too late.
Exactly. And then they had Kane push him off the side of the stage, and the rest is history.
Oh, God.
They buried the shit out of Zack Ryder, Matt Cardona. Once they realized that the push he was getting wasn't organic and not part of what they're doing. From John Cena stealing his girl to getting low blowed at WrestleMania, to him being like a full body cast, huh?
Did anyone the icy strap at Mania?
Yes,
and then he lost it the next night.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
I think it was what was it WrestleMania? I think it was WrestleMania Dallas. He won it, right?
Yes,
31, right? I thought the daytime match was it?
That was Daniel Bryan.
Oh, 32 then?
Yeah, it was 32.
I think it was 32,
and then he lost it to the Miz the next night.
Insane.
All right. Good news. Good news segment, Dick. Let's get into the week of wrestling. Triple H had to pull emergency duty due to Drew McIntyre catching coronavirus, which, I mean, he's asymptomatic, he says, so he's not really feeling the full effects. But, I mean, it's contagious, so good for them. I did appreciate, you know, it only took them a year to come out and formally address the importance of wearing a mask and treating COVID seriously. But I'm glad they finally did it. I mean, and who better than the champ to come out and say it? That's going to lead to a Randy Orton Triple H feud now.
Which you said, Dick, you said Drew's out past Royal Rumble, right?
Well, no. I mean, he should be back in time for Royal Rumble because they took him off TV this past Monday. I think that's when he got the results. He was positive. So he should be quarantined for 10 to 14 days. So he should be back. I don't want to say next Monday, but the 25th at least. Yeah. So I'd say the 25th, hopefully. If he's in worse shape, then that definitely changes the Royal Rumble. And that might change a lot of the plans they have. So
against Goldberg.
We'll have to wait and see. Yeah, and it's the thing with these tests. Like when you test positive, say you are positive, you may not feel fine after 14 days, and that's another thing, you know, to consider. And it might be longer before he gets fully healthy. Hopefully, that's just, you know, a mild case, which I'm hoping that's the case, and it appears that might be the case.
So I could have sworn Randy Orton got burned by Alexa Bliss last week. But he seemed fine this week, which, I don't know what they're doing with the Fiend now. It was weird. Triple H, cut a promo saying, I like that you burned Bray Wyatt alive, but you know, talking shit to Mark Henry really doesn't sit well with me. It's so weird. It's so weird. How dare, I'm glad you burned someone alive, but how dare you talk shit about Ric Flair? And that's the feud.
I don't get it.
Straight murder. It's so funny.
Yeah. So straight murder, Lee, and then after that led to Lacey Evans fucking Ric Flair now. So that's a storyline that they're building.
Yeah.
With Charlotte. I feel like, man, Charlotte just comes back and just steals the spotlight from everybody.
Yeah, she's female Roman, like we've been saying forever.
Woman reigns.
I think she's amazing, though, so I'm never going to be mad to put her on. And I think I sort of lost my my mojo for Lacey. So
never had it.
Oh, you never had it?
Nope, never. I've never been a fan of Lacey Evans. Also, just one of the last big storylines that Lacey Evans had with Bayley, they built her up as like this family woman, you know, served the military. She has a daughter and a husband that she loves, and now she wants to fuck Ric Flair. You got to pick one. You can't keep doing this.
That, and that's not just exclusive to Lacey Evans. That's a booking problem in general.
Yeah. And Ric Flair's also like happily married. So I don't know. This is coming from a mark that, you know, watches TV, like watches the news and knows what's going on in these people's lives. But you got to give me something that's a little bit more based in reality than, you know, Ric Flair fucking Lacey Evans. Something I'll jerk off to later, but that's besides the point.
Right, right. That's just a bonus.
That's just bonus.
And more
yeah.
pressing is, why is Ric Flair on Raw? Why is he there? He should not be there at all.
That's a bigger story, yeah. And I feel like every time he comes back, him and Charlotte hate each other. Just come on, guys. Yes. You got to give us something else.
And I think here's the thing, because I think it's partially Ric Flair's fault. I love the guy, but I think he just loves wrestling so much. Like, he can't move on from it. This is who he is.
I agree.
Like, just let it go, dude. Like, your daughter's the queen now. Just go enjoy your wife or something.
I mean, if he came out with her like he did in the beginning, I mean, that's something I'd be able to take, because, you know, he's like a manager, like what they do in AEW all the time. You have legends be managers, but Charlotte can talk. She doesn't really need him. Right. So yeah, just chill, bro. Just chill. Go bang your hot wife, and, you know, chill.
Enjoy retirement and enjoy yourself. There's no reason for him to be back in that environment. It's like, you see him on TV enough times. It's like, when he comes back, it's like, well, whatever, you know, it's not special.
What else happened on Raw? What did Triple H do?
Good on Raw that,
I don't know. That's all I know, is that they had to reshuffle the show because Drew did test positive.
Yeah, again, I think it's a good, like you said, it was good emergency use of the H-Man, because him and Randy, like, I think they belong in the same tier of, like, guys you expect to be in that kind of, you know, that kind of light where they're just legends and can kind of be main event if they want to, whenever they want.
Yeah.
So it's good use of that.
I have no desire to see a Triple H Randy Orton feud.
No. And I got my timelines mixed up from earlier. Alexa Bliss comes out. She interrupted the match that they were going to have, Triple H. And so they did the bait and switch. They told us we were going to get Triple H versus Randy Orton, which, I mean, for Raw, that's a pretty good main event. They were about to fight, and then Alexa Bliss shot a fireball in Randy Orton's face, leading to facial burns. So we'll see where that goes. I guess The Fiend, that storyline is back. What was your guys' match of the week? I got mine.
Go ahead with yours. I have a couple to think about.
It happened last night on SmackDown. Cesaro versus Daniel Bryan. A match with no build, right? I don't think they built this up. I think it was just coming off of what happened last week.
Right. Yeah.
I'm all for it. I thought this match was great, and that's why I picked it as my match of the week. A lot of reversals, a lot of technical wrestling, which I appreciate.
I think too, SmackDown is really doing a good job.
SmackDown's on fire.
A wrestling show where, like, you know, because you can only have so many A storylines, where you have to fill up the time with some work. So I think they're doing a really good job of using their wrestlers to, like, put on these good matches, like their mini gems and shit. So yeah, I'm really happy. But my match of the week, this is a bit biased, but fuck it. Nakamura's back, baby. He got his theme song back.
Yes.
We're back. So that means we're going to lose a main event. We're not going to win it, but at least we'll be there. So
I'm all on board with Nakamura turning back face and getting his original theme song that people can sing once there's people in the audience. Yeah, sign me up. I thought he has a good match with Jey Uso too to kick off SmackDown.
Jey Uso, like, the Usos both are, we take for granted. At least I have taken for granted how good they are in the ring, because they used to look so stupid to me.
With the clown makeup?
Yeah. Yeah, but they're really fucking good wrestlers.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. No, I agree.
Usos versus Young Bucks, I'd like to see that one day.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a dream match too.
I would agree. Going back to what you're saying about Nakamura versus Jey Uso, I agree. Nakamura is back to being a babyface. You need babyfaces for Roman Reigns at this point. And that's really what it comes down to. Like, who are you going to put in the meantime? Because the babyface side on SmackDown, I mean, you have Daniel Bryan, you have, now you have Shinsuke Nakamura. I mean, Cesaro, do you also turn Cesaro and also have him go against Roman? Because that's another guy you can utilize as well, whether he's a face or a heel. Cesaro's another great talent. I'm all for it. I mean, I'm intrigued to see what they're going to do with Nakamura. I think the match you mentioned, Daniel Bryan, had another great match this week. SmackDown was good in general. I liked Darby versus, I want to just touch up on Dynamite real quick. Darby versus Brian Cage. That was a brutal match.
I agree with you, Dick. We talked about it before. I think Darby and Kenny are the saving graces of AEW. They're probably the most entertaining and interesting. Just everyone else seems kind of hokey. And But has Brian Cage won a singles title? He hasn't, right? Besides the fake one that he has?
Well, the FTW belt's not recognized by AEW, so he is the uncrowned champion.
Damn, so that's where he came in strong, right? Didn't he come competing for that world title right away, and then he's never...
Yeah.
Okay. I thought, for some reason, I thought he won the mid-card title, but
not yet.
He hasn't won anything officially. But they're building up Team Taz. Building them up. They have a nice little stable.
You guys saw AEW, right? You guys, saw the promo of Jericho's promo. And what do you guys think of that? Because that seems to be polarizing. A lot of people hated it. I don't like that faction. Again, I think it's my bias against Jericho, and I think he's washed, whatever. But like that whole faction to me doesn't do it. Like, what do you guys think of that promo? Was it just kind of lackluster in general?
I mean, I feel like they are recognizing it, and that's why they're kind of starting to not splinter, because I think the inner circle, especially once they added MJF to it, has gotten too much. There's too much going on in there now.
They jumped the shark in a way?
Yeah, I would say they jumped the shark with it. I think now maybe there can, you know, be some more lines drawn in this, because I like that they wanted to do like what they did with the Wyatt family when Randy Orton joined and Luke Harper kind of subtly was like, I don't know about this guy. They did that in the beginning, but now they're like on the same page and then they're off the same page. But now that it's leading up to next week, they're actually going to, well, Sammy Guevara called Jericho a tag team slut, which got a chant from the crowd. Perfect chant.
That was pretty good.
So now they're going to have tag team matches to establish the official tag team of the Inner Circle, which I like. I also like that they invented Sammy Hagar as a tag team, which...
Oh, that's cool. Okay, I'll give that. I marked that a little bit.
And Sammy didn't get it.
And Sammy didn't get it, which made it even funnier.
That made it even better.
But yeah, I think there's just too much sauce in this pasta that they're making.
They are doing that. They're setting up the... sorry, Dick, but they're setting up that... you know, that gimmick that Kevin Owens and Jericho had a little bit with MJF and Jericho, it looks like.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm always cool with that kind of storyline, because that storyline always works in wrestling. But we'll see how they execute it.
One thing before we get into what else happened on AEW, SmackDown had a contract signing between Adam Pearce and Roman Reigns. And Adam Pearce pulled the old switcheroo, which led to a contract signing. Roman Reigns signed the contract first and didn't realize that Adam Pearce can change the subject to card or card subject to change, which makes sense, because if he's like a commissioner matchmaker, why couldn't he just be like, no, we're not doing that. I call the shots around here. So it's actually Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns in a last man standing match at the Rumble. I'm hyped. I mean, third time's gonna be the charm for Kevin Owens, but it's something, right? Are you guys tired of seeing these guys?
Right. I think it's a clever way to get one over, because you're not going to beat Roman in a match. So I think this is...
Nor should you anytime soon.
Right. So this is one way to kind of stick it to him, in a sense, because you can't win. Roman can't win every week.
Right.
Well, you can, but this way, this is kind of a mini loss, which heels need to get them pissed. So that's fine.
Yeah, I think in a last man standing match, too, you can just have... you know, all the rules being broken.
Right.
And Roman can win. Kevin Owens can show, you know, he tried his hardest. I don't think Kevin Owens will lose that much stock, being that if he loses this match, which he might win. He could win.
He could. WrestleMania season. They could have Roman in a non-title match that just means more, you know, i.e. versus like someone like The Rock, which is not going to happen.
It's or not
someone
happen.
Like someone like Goldberg, for instance. So who knows?
Yeah, Goldberg doesn't need to be in a title match every fucking show that he's on. He can just be Goldberg coming back to, you know, beat ass. He doesn't. Every match he's been in so far, right? If correct me if I'm wrong, but they've all been title matches, right?
Right. I hope
Goldberg versus Taker wasn't a title match.
Well,
that's in Saudi Arabia. That doesn't really count.
I hope they do something where, I mean, dream booking wise, maybe Roman loses this title somehow, then he just doesn't like Goldberg and beats the shit out of him at Rumble when he's facing like Drew or whatever. And then that sets up their Mania match or whatever, but who knows?
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I'm 100% okay with that because Goldberg will get his ass killed by Roman.
And then, yeah, and then I don't know. Goldberg, why is Goldberg wrestling still, dude?
He's only what? He's 54, right?
He's in his 50s.
Man, that's crazy how these
he's in his 50s.
Sting is 900 years old. So like, why do these guys can't let it go? It's a hard way to get out, huh?
Ric Flair is 70 plus years old and he's still on Raw.
Dude, Ric Flair wrestled Shawn Michaels in one of the coolest matches and he was like 60 at the time, huh?
And that should have been swan song. His rich swan song.
He was probably late 50s, maybe early 60s, I want to say, but yeah, he was up there. But the thing with Flair is that he didn't stop. He went to TNA and was wrestling some more.
Well, you know,
that just goes back to tell you that, hey, these guys can't quit.
That jet flying lifestyle catches up with you. You need to make some money.
Yeah. It does.
One thing that I'm really excited for is Jungle Boy getting his independent song, the song he used on the indies, back. Nothing will get a crowd to sing along than, I mean, let me rephrase this. This song is perfect for when crowds are back. Have you heard the song? We've all heard the song, I
Tarzan
feel like.
Boy by Baltimore.
Yes. I remember it from that movie Jungle to Jungle.
Yeah, that was Jungle Boy's old theme song before he joined AEW.
Yeah, they have to play Baltimore a lot. That song is a banger, though. Like, I can
only
song just driving.
They got the rights for it. Yeah, so that's his song now.
Wait, Tony Khan paid Baltimore for just like the rights to use it anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Must be nice to have that kind of money.
Something Vince wouldn't do for sure.
What?
So that's the perfect song for Jungle Boy, Jurassic Express.
Move.
Yeah.
That's the right move because once the crowds come back, hopefully, you know, they do come back. I think the crowds will love that song and they will be singing along. And Jungle Boy, they need to push Jungle Boy. I mean, he's their future. So if they play their cards right, he's going to be one of the top guys in AEW in the next couple of years.
He's still infantile, I mean, age-wise, right? So I think he's like, what, early 20s still?
He's definitely in his 20s.
Yeah, he has time. Him and Darby will probably be the sport players, maybe.
Him, Darby, MJF, those, you got a bright future with AEW.
Anything big happened on NXT? I know they started the Dusty Classic. But anything big happened that I'm not thinking of?
I think Candice match was pretty good, to be honest.
Candice Shisatsi.
What do you call it? They beat up the Undisputed Era. It looks like they're feuding with Pete Dunne and his minions.
That's, dude, yeah. And Finn Balor's in there somewhere too, mixed in the.
Right, because Pete Dunne's trying to get his. I think Pete Dunne's next in line.
Pete Dunne.
Finn Balor will pour in the fucking house. Then.
Pete Dunne and Finn Balor. Sign me up for that. I need that injected in my veins.
I hope they do that match before Karrion Kross gets back in the picture.
Yeah.
What's his name? Is the other guy from, is Fish hurt?
Probably.
Because he hasn't been on TV, and I don't think I've seen him since War Games. To be like actually in something meaningful.
I agree. I haven't seen him either.
Interesting. Because he wasn't even on.
In Dusty Classic, Undisputed Era is Roderick Strong and Adam Cole.
Right. Yeah.
And not Red Dragon.
Interesting.
Jake Atlas.
It's interesting.
Oh, go on.
No, I was going to say, it's interesting to see what's going to happen with Undisputed Era, because I don't know if they're going to get called up. I mean, we've been talking about this for a while. What do you do with these guys? Do you call them up? I hate to use the term calling them up, because it's more of a downgrade than anything else. Do you put them on Raw, SmackDown? Do you keep them there? Do you have them implode? I mean, there's a lot of possibilities that they can do with these guys. And these guys are, I mean, they're still young. I mean, Adam Cole is still in his early 30s.
Someone brought it up. I think I heard it on Two Pete or Maskman, I forgot, but someone brought up the awesome scenario of they're the ones to take Roman down. Like, they all come in and beat the shit out of Roman.
That would be sick.
But
one way to make an impact.
The only downside to that would instantly make Roman the fucking face, right? So,
well, not necessarily. If he's done if he does enough bullshit, dastardly things, Undisputed Era coming in and attacking the tribal chief and his, you know, underlings.
Yeah.
Imagine, okay, let's say they add Apollo Crews to the mix. So you have Roman, Apollo, and the Usos versus the Undisputed Era. I'm fucking down.
Damn, that would be the shit.
I'm in.
That would be a really good way to do it.
Or Undisputed Era come in and feuding with the Hurt Business right away, too. That could be something, too.
Yes. I think that'd be another good way to go, too, especially with the Hurt Business having three titles. But I think if you want to establish these guys on another level, you got to put them with Roman.
Right. We all know Adam Cole is that level guy, right? He's not.
Roman versus Adam Cole? We all know Cole? That. I think I'm down for.
We all know that. It's just one person's opinions that matters more than anything else.
But Adam Cole is different, dude. He's Shawn Michaels adjacent, obviously.
Absolutely.
So damn good.
I don't want to call him Shawn Michaels adjacent. He's just that damn good. It's just his size is going to be it's going to be what's holding him back.
All three of them. Or all four of them.
Right.
And that's not his fault at all.
One thing, speaking of little guys, I wanted to talk about Jake Atlas and Isaiah Swerve Scott going against a mystery team, which we found out were MSK, formerly the Rascals in TNA. What's crazy, I just dropped off shirts at the Last Bar Wrestling Show to Desmond Xavier. Cool dude, by the way. And now he's in NXT, which is pretty wild. Got new names. One guy is called Nash Carter. I forget who is who, but I didn't.
That's terrible, by the way.
Nash Carter.
That is a terrible name. That sounds like a country singer.
I mean, I'll take it over Desmond Xavier's new name, which is Wes Lee.
Wait, like L-E-E?
First
They're
name,
both terrible.
First name Wes, last name Lee.
Well, like.
Oh, my God.
I mean, they're going for puns and shit.
I guess, dude.
Shitty puns.
Maybe he'll be related to Keith Lee.
Speaking of puns, did you guys watch the press release WWE did when they announced the next WrestleMania shows?
No.
It was Hunter and I forgot to mention this earlier. I should have mentioned it, but they did a skit where it was Hunter and Stephanie in the newsroom, and they were playing off all these different names, and they had Sasha Banks and John Cena as part of it. John Cena was actually in there too, but okay. I forgot his name, and I forgot what Sasha's name was, but. Let me try to look it up real quick. But they had like all these names, and they were football. They're supposed to be football names because I guess they're playing off the football names. And they never had the chance to do kayfabe as one of the correspondents. They should have done that, but instead they went with like all these corny football names instead.
Huge Erection was taken already. They couldn't do that one.
I guess so. Let me try to look it up real quick.
But yeah, the Rascals actually are MSK, which I hope stands for Murder Street Killers, because that'd be a badass name. You already live on Murder Street, and you're the killers from Murder Street. I hope that's what that means for. But you know, with WWE, they're not gonna have murder and killers in their names. But they looked good. They actually looked really good. So I'm excited to see them with a deep run on this Dusty Classic. And I mean, I forgot Undisputed Era. Who won that match?
I'm assuming them.
Against
right?
Breezango. Yeah, I think they won.
Although Breezango is a formidable tag team. I'm happy they found a home in NXT again.
Yeah, for sure. Because they weren't doing anything
on
the main roster.
They did main event. They did main event this week's NXT.
Yeah, good match.
It was a good match. Oh man, what was the name? Anyways, it's really not important. But they were pretty bad puns. I want to mention this to you guys. Let's talk about NXT real quick. They did their lowest rating that isn't that's a normal show for them. They hit the 500K mark. Do you think it's time? Do you think USA is going to say, hey, wait a minute, you know, part of the deal was to draw an audience, and we're not doing it on Wednesdays. Therefore, we need to have another night. Do you think it's time for them to go to another night?
We've been saying this since, you know, they started this.
Because
rather than trying to go head to head with AEW, you're splitting your audience. You might have, you know, you might be able to do better numbers on a different night rather than trying to compete with AEW, which they, frankly, they haven't. They might have won a couple weeks here and there, but AEW is running away with it in spades.
In terms of it being like a rivalry, as far as if you look at the ratings, it's been one sided for the most part, and it's hurt NXT more than it's hurt AEW. AEW might not be growing to where they want to be, but I think it's hurting NXT more. You look at people just not really talking about the brand as much.
NXT has lost so much since they went to USA. They used to have a mystique. NXT used to be like the must-see, can't-miss show of the week. And not just because AEW's around. They've been WWE-ified with whatever production they do on Raw and SmackDown. It's really coming to play on NXT as well. And I feel like, yeah, you're right, Dick. They don't feel as special as they used to. Also, a crowd would help.
And I think, yeah, a crowd is one thing, but I think they're in this weird stage right now where people like us, Marks, will always see them as developmental.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's really like they don't want to say, but it's still their C show as great as the performances and takeovers are always the best pay-per-views consistently. But I think they're in a stage where they got to find a way, especially them being on USA, to establish themselves as something completely different.
Right.
I don't know if that means like eliminating the fact that people are jumping from brand to brand, or like actually just being a third legit brand where they have a draft and they're part of it. But I think they need to find a way to kind of break off from being the place where you go before you go to the big leagues.
Yeah,
here's the problem. Go ahead.
Well, I feel like that's what made NXT special, was because you're getting to see them, you know, in developmental, and like, oh man, I've been behind this guy since he was in NXT. Now it's just kind of different, where they're treated like their main roster, but it's not at the same time.
Right.
And I thought that's the route they were going to go last year, where they had and really started Survivor Series, where they had the three brand stage, and where NXT was on top.
NXT beat everybody.
They did. And NXT was put over. And I'm thinking, okay, well, NXT is now, you know, the third official brand. And we see now that, well, they're kind of taking a back seat, and they're still considered to be the C brand, which in reality, they're not the C brand. I think they're the A brand when it comes to WWE. In Vince's eyes, it's the C brand. But for everyone else, I think NXT is the A brand. SmackDown can be considered the B brand, and Raw's by far the C brand.
Rhea Ripley should have beat Charlotte at WrestleMania last year. That would have helped NXT. That would have helped Rhea Ripley. Because now she's Diarrhea Ripley. She hasn't been doing jack shit.
She's been one hurt for the most by 2020.
She might be coming to the main roster soon. Maybe Royal Rumble be a surprise entrance. But there is nothing special about her right now. Well, I mean, obviously she's Rhea Ripley. But as far as the shine she had on her last year compared to now, I mean, she just lost to Raquel Gonzalez from Baldwin Park.
She's totally Baldwin Park, and so is that girl from The Way too.
Oh, for sure, the girl from The Way. I forget her name. That's like Hacienda Heights, Alhambra.
Are you talking about Indy Hartwell?
Indy Hartwell, yeah.
Yeah.
She's from Alhambra.
Stops at Hollister sometimes. I'm like, what the hell?
Oh man, she definitely eats hot Cheetos and cup of noodles at lunch.
Oh, for sure.
Anything else, guys? I feel like we covered a lot. in a relatively short amount of time. There's a lot going on. We're getting ready for the Royal Rumble. Entrants have been announced for the Rumble. I don't remember. I don't have it in front of me. Who's already going to be in there?
I'll pull it up.
I did have it. Hold on. Let me pull up my new iPad.
Ooh.
All right.
It's for work, but I find other uses for it as well.
So here's what we got so far for the men's that have been announced so far. Obviously, Daniel Bryan is the first one to be announced. We got Bobby Lashley, AJ Styles, Randy Orton, Otis, The Miz, Jey Uso, and Cesaro.
Okay. I like that The Miz announced it on TMZ.
TMZ, yeah. And then for the women, we got Nia Jax, Charlotte Flair, Bianca Belair, Bayley, Mandy Rose, and Dana Brooke.
They're going to have to dip into NXT for the Women's Royal Rumble. There's not 30 women that can be in this Rumble from the main roster.
Oh, no, they're going to dip into NXT. They're going to have to, and they're probably going to have to bring out some of the legends as well. I mean, Mickie James comes to mind.
Yeah.
Although every year it seems like that they go to that well one too many times. You know, Trish Stratus, Lita.
Molly Holly.
Molly Holly is another one.
Which, by the way, going back to Legends Week last week, they advertised Carlito, who wasn't on the show, and he came out and said, why am I going to fly cross-country to be in a two-minute segment where I don't do anything? Which
in the middle of a pandemic.
In the middle of a pandemic. Thank you, Carlito. Thank you for doing the right thing and just being like, that's stupid. Why would I do that? That's more trouble than it's worth.
Well, that and also that they still have beef with each other, right? Because I know, like, when Carlito left, they did have a falling out that lasted for a long time.
I wouldn't be surprised. So, I mean, it's starting to shape. There's going to be more announcements to who's in the Royal Rumble match. Early predictions right now.
Mm-hmm.
On the women's and the men's side, we'll do the women's first. Who can win this Royal Rumble? And we believe it. Because, honestly, if you tell me Dana Brooke or Mandy Rose are going to win this shit, I might believe you because everyone's on the same level right now as far as, like, star power. Unless you're Charlotte. And Charlotte can't win it again.
No.
No. No.
But my pick for the women's right now in this so early prediction is Diarrhea.
Diarrhea might be a good pick.
I've been saying that for a while. I mean, I
get her win back from last year.
Yeah, I think you have to at this point, given what we're seeing so far with her in NXT, where she did put over Raquel. Maybe that's her swan song in NXT. She
awesome match.
In the Rumble.
Great way to go out, too, if that's the last match.
Yeah, which was a great match. She needs to win the Rumble. I have a feeling Charlotte's going to end up being the Raw champion before WrestleMania. I mean, they might even do the match at the Royal Rumble. I mean, who knows? And you have Rhea get that win back, you know? And I have a feeling they're going to do that because I remember Triple H said in a press call that this is a long-term storytelling right here, which I think is just a cover-up because they did fuck up last year at WrestleMania.
Yep.
And now that the events are kind of favored to do it again where Rhea can get her win back, then they'll be like, well, we planned this the whole time.
Yeah.
No, they didn't.
This was a Rock Cena two-year build kind of deal.
Mm-mm. No.
Men's side, Daniel Bryan, right? Is that who we're kind of going with?
Are you going with Rhea as well, Drew?
Diarrhea or Bianca Belair would be my dark horse.
Bianca would be number two for me as well. Yeah. You got to go with someone new.
You have to. You have to build new stars, and they're not doing that at all. At all.
Mm-mm. No, so that's why I think for the women, it's got to be between those two.
On the men? Men's, I think there's a couple names that can do it. Daniel Bryan obviously jumps to the front. I could see AJ Styles. That's one of the things he hasn't been able to do.
He hasn't won the Rumble, you're right.
In WWE.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good, too. Roman Reigns, because he's Roman Reigns. Just kidding.
imagine the champion wins the Royal Rumble.
He's like, you know, they had it, you know, last year with Brock entering the Rumble. That was my biggest fear was that he was going to last throughout the entire Rumble, win it. And then go after the other champion and probably do a title for title. Luckily, they didn't do that and actually ended up working because that made Drew McIntyre that much bigger.
Exactly. And it built great for the Mania match, too.
and it worked out in the end. So it can work out in your favor. Wow, as far as the men's go, I mean, Daniel Bryan to me, based off this list of who's in it, is an obvious choice. AJ, I would like to see AJ win it as well, but I don't know. I mean, like, I just don't know.
I'm gonna go with the wildest card. I'm gonna pick Sami Zayn to win the Royal Rumble.
Whoa, that is wild, boy.
That's a wild card.
That's Chris Pontius wild, boy.
I know that is.
Yeah,
wild.
That's way out there.
Let's just fuck it.
Fuck it. Otis is winning the shit.
Could you imagine if the last two entrants were Otis and The Miz?
Oh my god.
Yes, I could imagine. And yes.
Oh man.
We got to do a Rumble pool, by the way, this year.
Yeah, and I think once we get more names as far as who's in it, then I'll have a better idea of who I think may win.
Yeah.
It's just too early. I think it's more so it's too early to tell on the men's side because there's just not enough names. But the women's, at least, okay, we kind of see where things are going. This is the way they should go. Are they going to do it? Probably not.
This is the way. I think that's it, guys. I think we're good. Great show. Thank you for listening, downloading, subscribing, telling your friends, neighbors. We are the new World Order Professional Podcasting. We will see you next time.